Blog Talk Radio.
Was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and it's good for us to be here. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it's good to be here. Just another day, just another week. It's of the Lord's mercies. We're not consumed because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Those are the words uttered in the Lamentations by the weeping prophet Jeremiah. So we thank God for it. Psalmist says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. So it's a blessing to be able to look into the word of the Lord. As James, the brother of our Lord, says, looking into the perfect law of liberty. So the perfect law of liberty is the word of the Lord. Like we say, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, making wise the simple. The testimony is sure. So God's word, like says, God's word and true science are in perfect harmony. So that's good to know. So the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. So nothing like the word of God. So we just thank God for all of our listeners on today. The month of September has just about gotten away from us. So I think this is the 25th of September. So this is our last session, Blog Talk of Radio Truth Ministry for this month. Knowing next week we'll be into the 10th month of the year. So my 2013 is going by fast or rapidly, whatever way we want to terminology we want to use. So there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. This is Ephesians, the fourth chapter, and four verses 4, 5, and 6, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, called the book of Ephesians, the Ephesian church, people that were already saved. So we thank God for all of our listeners, or definitely all of our new listeners. We have LinkedIn friends. We thank God for all of you, also our Twitter listeners and followers and those that we follow on Twitter, also our Facebook friends. Thank God for you, and also our Blog Talk friends. So thank God for the medium of Blog Talk Radio. So we're able to have this venue where we can get into the Word of God. So there's many different venues on Blog Talk Radio. So you can even Tavis Smiley, excuse me, is on Blog Talk Radio now. So there's many open doors on Blog Talk Radio. You can create your own talk show. I never would have thought that I would be doing this kind of thing, actually teaching God's Word, and don't know who all that I'm talking to, because God is using me and my personality to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is, teach the Word, declare the Word, as we would call preach the Word, which is proclaiming, teaching is explaining. So thank God that we're able to get into His Word. So I've been doing Blog Talk Radio since 2010. So this is like about 3.5 years. I think I started in February of 2010. So a little over 3.5 years I've been doing Blog Talk Radio. I think Blog Talk Radio started in 2006. So it hasn't been around a long time, but still I'm really surprised sometimes to know when you're talking to people in the business world, some still haven't heard about Blog Talk Radio. And so they ask, what is that? So it's very interesting. So you have your own time. And the good part about it is commercial free. You create your own talk show. You set it up the way you want. So those of you that listen on a regular basis, you know that sometimes when I would do the broadcast, when I first started off, it was a number of us, like three, sometimes four of us. And sometimes a gentleman, one of our elders at our church, who is also an educator, and he is our historian. He did the history, especially when we went through the book of Acts. So sometimes in the future, we will be able to get him back on from time to time, because our church is going into a new building. So we thank God for that. So definitely nothing like history. So sometimes it makes us to look back when we were in school. We were, especially, it doesn't matter, boys or girls, we know how we were back in the day if we weren't paying attention like we should have. Now these things are real, and we can see what it's all about. So there are things that we did remember. There's other things that I know myself that I wish I really would have looked into and paid attention. But you can always look up so much information online. We don't have, back in the day, we had what they call World Book Encyclopedias. So everybody couldn't. I almost got some when my boys were growing up. My wife and I, but we didn't get them. That's one regret I have. I hate that I didn't get those. So that's information that you would have on hand. But it behooves us to read and search out things. That's why Jesus said in St. John 5:39, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they, the scriptures, they are they which testify of me. So thank God that we're here. So we thank God we're in the last days. You got to know what's going on. You're hearing of wars and rumors of wars. You can read about the signs of his coming and the end of the world. And these things, these questions that they ask in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the 13th chapter of Mark, the 17th chapter of St. Luke, and also the 24th chapter of St. Luke after his resurrection from the dead. He let them know, these are the things that I've spoken unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the Psalms and in the prophets, in the law of Moses, in the Psalms and in the prophets, he said, concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. It says, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Thus I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. He led them out as far as Bethany, lifted up his hands and blessed them, stepped on a cloud, and was received out of their sight. So like I say, when you follow history, St. Luke is the one who wrote St. Luke. He wrote the Acts of the Apostles also. So he picks it up. In Acts 1 and 8, they said, they asked Jesus a question, "Will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" Acts 1 and 6, he says, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you." That's the promise of the Father that I just mentioned in Luke 24. He says, "Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." And so here's the same thing. What Luke saw, they looked up steadfastly. He stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight. Two men in white apparel, which were angels, says, "Ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus which is taken up shall also come in like manner." So he's coming back again. So this is what we're telling people. So he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy, in the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. So we can see time is drawing nigh. So that's what we're endeavoring to do, to open people's eyes. That is the eyes of your understanding, because your eyes are the camera, but you see with your brain, you understand with your heart or your spirit. Not that one that's ticking in your chest, but your body, your soul, and your spirit. We're emotional beings. We have a spirit. That's what it's in fellowship with God. Our soul is what he's going to redeem from the power of the grave. Soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's why Jesus said, "What is it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" The operative word, own soul. So that's why Peter, when he preached on the day of Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you Jews, your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." That's talking about us Gentiles too. We were far off, you know, we were far off from the commonwealth of Israel, but ye who were far off, this is in the book of Ephesians, the writer goes on to say, we are made nigh or near by the blood of Christ. After he rose from the dead, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. We have access by the faith of him. So we being rooted and grounded and settled, we might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's why the writer goes on to say, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church, world by Christ Jesus, world without end. So he is the one that got up from the dead. Amen. God has raised himself up. Knowing God is the spirit, they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So God is one. So people, that's what we are endeavoring to let people know about. That's why I'm just kind of parking my car on the Godhead, the God who is the head of all things. There's only one God. You can read so much about him in the 42nd, the 43rd, the 45th chapter of Isaiah, when he was saying, I'm the Lord. There is no, beside me, there is no Savior. Is there a God beside me? This is the Lord saying, I don't know of any. And he knows everything. He's omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. He's omnipotent. That means he has all power. He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere and every place. He's everywhere here now, God. He can leave you, come to you, ain't going nowhere. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Look on the behalf to show himself strong on the behalf of those that have a perfect heart toward him. He's so high and lifted up, the psalmist says that he has to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. It's like we say, in the beginning, God, in the book back there, he revealed himself. He made known his ways unto Moses. That's revelation. And his acts to the children of men. In the beginning, God is a divine testimony. There was only one witness on the stand, and that was God himself. He's always been God. That's why before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the world and the earth, in the 90th Psalm, the writer says, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. That's why Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He said, I'm the good shepherd. Good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. No man take my life. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. So that's why he got up. He said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I'll raise it up. He was talking about the temple of his body. In the first few chapters of St. John, when he was declaring his deity. That's why I read that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh, how he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The revelation of the oneness of God. So he didn't make himself, but he always was. So that's why he said that he was going to get up on the third day. When you shall see the Son of Man lifted up, then you're going to know I am he. So he said, no man take my life. So he came to give his life a ransom for many. So as the writer writes in the book of Corinthians about wisdom, and he said, which none of the princes of this world knew, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the Jews seek after wisdom. The Jews seek after a sign, the Greeks wisdom, but Christ, the wisdom of God, and the power of God. So he goes on to say, you see your calling, brother. Not many mighty, not many wise, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise, the things that are base, that no flesh shall glory in his presence. So that quote came out of the book of Jeremiah. As it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. So he's the door. So he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, he's the bishop of our souls. He's a great high priest. He is the high priest of our profession. He is the captain of our salvation. So when he got up on the third day, somebody said he got up with a mighty triumph for his foes. So the devil thought he had him. Amen. But he got up just like he said that he would, to die no more. That's why he said, I'm he that liveth, and behold, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. And he said, I have the keys of hell and of death. That means the power and authority of death, who Adam had given over to the devil when he disobeyed God, but Jesus took it back. So it's not no keys. As we say, I have the keys of hell and of death, but the key is that he has the power and the authority back that was given over to the enemy, who is the devil, and he hates every last one of us. So many times, people don't know the devil will make a fool out of you, have you believe in a lie, because he showed you one little stupid thing, and have you forging a lie against somebody, and you end up making a fool out of yourself, because he is a master of deception. He is the anointed cherub that covereth. He was created perfect in wisdom and beauty, but God cast him out. because he wanted to take over. That's why Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. How did he see him fall? Because he threw him out. That's how he saw him fall. So he said, I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the ending. I'm an Alpha and Omega, first and the last. I'm he that was, which is, and which is to come, the Almighty. So when it's in his times, he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate. That word potentate means supreme ruler, King of kings, and Lord of lords. So we know, just like we've been saying, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. So that's in the 1 Timothy 6 and 10. So today we want to, our lesson derives from the book of the Hebrews. And so this is amazing. I'm not an English major or by no stretch of the imagination. And I know how to conjugate a verb and all this, these different terminologies that you use. I know that you got colons and semicolons and commas. But this particular verse in the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, and the first word, God, comma, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So the subject here is God, just like I do when I go off the air. So, I mean, you can't. The precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. The Bible is a puzzle, has to be put together. And this is in the 28th chapter of the book of Isaiah. So you can't get this with the natural man. He don't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. They are spiritually discerned. It takes the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit to understand the things of God, because sometimes people think we say when we're praying that we're cursing devils. And when I say curse a devil, that means the word curse means evil. The curse of God is against the devil. So in other words, God got his number is the point. We bind devils in the name of Jesus. Our weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. They're not guns and knives and sticks and stones and all that stuff, but they're mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Like I said, people be imagining things. And every high thought that acknowledges, exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So the devil is a liar. He make a fool out of people. So it behooves us to get on the Lord's side. So anyway, like I was saying here, the subject here in the book of Hebrews, as I'm trying to start off here, is God. And so this is the subject here. When I go off the air without controversy, great is the mystery. This is 1 Timothy 1 and 3 and 16. 1 Timothy 3 and 16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. So we know that's Jesus. But the subject is God. That's who he was. So we'll see here as we go on today. And so also, should you desire to call Truth Ministry, you can call us at 646-716-6566. That's 646-716-6566. Should you desire to call in, you have a question, you have a comment, you are welcome. Remember one time a young lady called in, a sister, and she just listened. She called the number and listened over the phone. So you have that option to do that too, because we can see if she had a comment or had a question, and she said, "No, I'm just listening." So you can do that too. You can call that number 646-716-6566, and you are certainly welcome. So today we we're still talking about the Godhead. So we're here in the book of Hebrews. So you listen on a regular basis. At times we do make reference to this. So verse 2, Hebrews 1, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his son. So that's the office of sonship. After you leave the book of Isaiah, you never see the name Jehovah anymore in the Bible. And so Jehovah means Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah has become our salvation, is what the name literally means. So back in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they knew the Lord as God Almighty. Exodus 6 and 3, I believe, he said, by my name, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob knew me by the name of God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not made known unto them. So they called him God Almighty. They know he was Jehovah Jireh because he provided. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, when Abraham had offered up his son of promise, Isaac, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews that God was able to raise him from the dead because he was the son of promise, even if he would have slain him. But he was going to raise the knife up to slay his son, and it was what we call double reference prophecy. It says that God will provide himself a sacrifice or a lamb. So in other words, the lamb that he needed, it was in the thicket that he offered, a goat in the thicket, the beast, it was a lamb or a goat, he offered was in the thicket in the stead of Isaac his son. And also, that is what is called a double reference prophecy. It was reference unto himself as the Lamb of God. He provided himself, because that's why he says, sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest, but a body thou hast prepared me. You see here in the book of Hebrews, as deep as we would go into the book of Hebrews, you could see that. He's talking about the high priest. He's talking about coming in the volume of the book. He's talking about taking away the first covenant had not had fought. There would not been room sought for the second. So the word, the key word in the book of the Hebrews is one word, better promises, better covenant upon better promises. So the key word in the book of the Hebrews is better. So he says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Express, that means it's him. One word, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he hath by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So see, that's what he did when he rose from the dead. He stepped on a cloud. He was the priest that offered the sacrifice. He also was God that received the sacrifice that he offered, because no man could do it but the Lord himself. That's why the writer says, what is it that he that descended is the same that ascended up. He that descended into the lower parts is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So he is a mighty God. So he has done it all by himself, just like he stretched out the earth and the heavens. He says, by myself. So even in the book of the Hebrews, in the 6th chapter, says God, when he could swear, when he made a promise to Abraham, you know, he swore by an oath. And Hebrew writer goes on to say that it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation. But he said when he could swear by no greater, talking about God, he swore two immutable things, that it was impossible for God to lie. So when he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. That means he swore alone. Just like us, we could say, I'm going to pay you your $1,000 when I get paid. God don't have to say that. If God promised you $1,000,000, you can bank on it. He ain't waiting on nobody else to get paid. The silver is his. The gold is his. The cattle on 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's. the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. One psalm, the Lord said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. So we can't understand. His thoughts are above our thoughts. As high as heaven is from the earth, so his thoughts are above our thoughts, and his ways above our ways. Because he is a mighty God, none can stay his hand. Or say unto him, what doest thou? So you want, I'm glad he's watching my back. And you know the good part about it? He's watching my back, and nobody is watching his, because he's God. He's a mighty God. He's mighty in battle. That's why the writer said he's the Lord strong and mighty. He's the Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? He said the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord, that means he's the Lord of earth and hell too. So he knows about fighting a devil. So sometimes we want, you know, we people, it's, and that's a disgusting thing for any human being, for somebody to just tell a bald-faced lie on you, as we some would say, or a blatant lie, or a barefaced lie. A lie is a lie. A lie is a dirty lie, a nasty lie. They conjure up lies, a lie. The Bible said no lie is of the truth. Proverbs 12 and 22 says, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Abomination means he hates it. Well, God hate a liar. Six things do he hate. And the Proverbs 6 is six thing. 6 and 16 talks about what God hates. I mean, and God is not playing. So sometimes you say that, and the whole point being, when he's not playing with me, he's not playing with nobody. People take that personal. Well, why don't you stop acting like you came out of hell then? You don't have to worry about it. These six things doth the Lord hate. You tell me God don't hate some things? Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Remember, you got to pay very close attention to repetition. Abomination and hate is the self same word. He hates it. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that has devised wicked imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. There it is, repetition. He that soweth discord among brethren. Well, God hates that kind of foolishness. People trying to tear other people down. I remember one evangelist going on to be with the Lord, just like she said, if you got your foot on somebody, you're not going no higher. But the whole point is, you're hurting your own crazy self, because you can think you got your foot on me, but you're hurting yourself because you're not holding me down because you're crazy. God don't work like that. And that's just like the notion of people thinking they could pray against somebody. You can't pray against the will of God. You can pray. You can pray that God will bind the devil, and people are plotting against you and all that. I'm doing that right now. You do that all the time. I'm not going to wait until I got to go to court or something, somebody trying to make a fool out of me, to start praying. Oh, my God, I got to go in the morning. Let me pray. No, I'm cursing devils ahead of time. That's what you got to do, because the devil is always plotting to get you. And this is what Jesus said in St. John 10 and 10. He said, the thief cometh for nothing but to steal and to kill and to destroy. He's talking about the devil. He's a thief. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So he goes on here, being made so much better than the angels. So this is talking about the Son of God, the body of God, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And that word begotten means to become the father of. So the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Luke 1 and 35, Mary was saying, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? So in other words, I haven't had relationship with a man. That's why he said, the power of the highest shall come upon thee and overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. That's the operative word. So he was called a holy thing. So we go on here. And again, he bringeth My son, this day have I begotten thee. This is a question. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. He's asking the question. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, he's talking to himself, is forever and ever. A sceptre of righteousness is it, the sceptre of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hateth iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Talking about God. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? He's talking about the angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for they who shall be heirs of salvation? So this is what I was making reverence to. At other times, we can call angels to minister unto us. When you're driving or whatever in your home, Lord, send legions of angels to encamp about us, protect us, and keep us. Keep us by your power, Lord. You know, the angel of the Lord encamp around about them that fear him and delivereth them. So God's angels are protecting us. Now, he's with us too. So he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So we thank God for that. So we go on in the next chapter. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense or reward, how shall we not escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers manners, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man, thou art mindful of him, or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Talking about the people of God in the church, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto them. Now, in the Old Testament, that word says that I will sing, I would declare thy name unto the church, to the brethren. It said in the midst of the congregation, instead of the word church. Here in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, it says congregation. So, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. So here's what I wanted to get to right here. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. This is talking about Jesus taking on flesh and blood, taking on that body, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Talking about human beings, us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. So it says, for in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That word succor means help them that are tempted. So, Hebrew writer goes on to say, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful and all his house. This man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, and as much as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house. So he goes on here. This is some good stuff. Every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. So the statements that we all can hear and that are made in the Bible, we have to sit back and wonder. So Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of the things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his house, whose house are we? So it says, as a son, Christ, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works, 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So he goes on here, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So anyway, here's what I want to say, is that this quote here in the book of Hebrews, he's talking about, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation of the day of in the day of temptation in the wilderness. This quote is out of the 95th Psalm that Apostle Paul was writing about here. So he goes on here to let you know. As you have probably heard me say, the worst sin in the whole wide world is unbelief. So this is why he said, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. That's an evil heart, not just for simply not believe. You ain't got to be lying, you ain't got to be stealing, you ain't got to be killing, you ain't got to be fornicating or committing adultery. And we know, I mean, adultery is a person that's married, maybe another person's not married, that's a fornicator. Either way, either or. Two people could not be married to each other, or both of the people are not married at all, they're fornicators. Two people are not married to each other, maybe one person is got a wife, and the woman he's messing with has got a husband. Those are both adulterers. So ain't going to be no whoremongers or adulterers or liars or nothing that loveth or maketh a lie is not going to be in heaven. Ain't going to be in heaven. You won't be there. So it behooves us to live right. So sometimes people don't realize the power that you have in the Holy Ghost. So I don't care what kind of situation you're in. There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So God is a faithful God. So let no man say when he is tempted of God that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, and God cannot be tempted, neither tempted he any man. This is what James says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. James goes on to say, do not err, my beloved brethren. So no conception, no babies. So you can't let lust conceive. It'll bring forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, it'll bring forth death. So you don't want that to happen. So God gives us power in his word. So he says, for some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? That's the question that he's asking. So, this is what the Hebrew writer goes on to say. So, we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. That's Hebrews 3 and 19. So, we're proving, when we don't just make statements off the top of our head, out of the Word of God, but we're proving the Word as we go along. That's why I say precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. This is in the book of Isaiah. So, and Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, 8th verse says, so they read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. That's what too many preachers are not doing nowadays, is giving the sense of the word. You got to give the sense. Cause them to understand the reading. That's why so many people are out. They suppose that gain is godliness. This is what Apostle Paul told his son Timothy in the gospel. From such, turn away. Godliness with contentment is great gain. So gain is not godliness. So people are greedy of filthy lucre. One of the requirements of a bishop is that he must not be greedy of filthy lucre. Filthy lucre is money. So these people are hustling people out of money. Sow a seed. I need a line of 10 people with $100. I want $1,000. Like, where's that written at? That's a lie out of hell. God ain't told you to do no such of a thing. The only thing I say God could do, if somebody had a need and he wanted people to meet it. So we got a need that need to be met. Someone is in need. No, they're putting that money in their coffers. So they should quit lying about that. Only thing God requires is the tithe, which is the tenth, and a free will offering. Is every man purpose in his heart? So let him give, not grudgingly, but cheerfully. God loveth a cheerful giver. All these seeds, I saw this guy Kuntz on TV. They're just lying. A bunch of other people just got people calling in, people doing the call center and all this, and people calling in, donating money, and then talking about God just got off the throne. God just got off. What a lie. I mean, that's so stupid. Just hustling people out of money. You get somebody on there to throw a bucket of water on that lie, they won't like that. Water that junk down. Put that fire out, because that is a lie. It's what that is. God ain't got up because somebody paying money. They ain't telling you how to be saved. All they're doing is hustling people out of their money. You cannot buy a blessing. That's the stupidest thing. That don't even make common sense without the Holy Ghost. That makes no sense at all. You cannot bribe God. You cannot blackmail God. You cannot interrogate God. You can't blackmail God. You can't railroad God. You can't fool God. You can't buy a blessing. That is the stupidest thing that I ever heard. It makes no sense, but that's what people are doing. So people are gullible. People are like sheep. So that's why you got to stand up. That's why Peter said, as I was thought about saying earlier, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That is exactly what we got to do. Save yourself. So you can't like these soul hustlers, somebody said, ecclesiastical pimps. No, that is about the salvation of souls. Sure, if you're doing, nobody said you had to be broke and begging or driving a hoopty or driving a bucket, as my sons used to say years ago when they were teenagers. You don't have to drive a 1919, get out and push. We used to say we were little. You can have a nice car and a nice home. You surely need to be helping people, not hustling folks. You got to have a love for the souls of men and women and boys and girls, a love for souls of people, if you call yourself a leader, because truly Jesus exemplified that. He fed the hungry. He didn't want them to faint. They followed him and hadn't ate, and he definitely took care of their natural needs. So these people are just hustling people out of money, and God is not pleased with that foolishness. But that's what he said. There's going to be false Christs and false prophets arise, and they're going to deceive many. So that was one of the end time things that he told people to take heed, that no man deceive you. You got to watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So, yeah, I made a statement, and I mean it. I'm not playing. I'm not going to be pimped or hustled by nobody. And you don't have to be. Nobody, somebody with love in their heart or care for their fellow man, if someone was truly hungry, who wouldn't try to get them something to eat? They truly had that need. But no, these people want money because they're on that stuff. They're cracked out and drug out on these names. You can watch the National Geographic Channel. I was looking at that. Sometimes they're showing about drugs and these so-called drug lords, camouflaged and incognito, talking about all they're doing and showing these folks all messed up at all this different stuff. It's a shame before God. I mean, it's a crying shame. People are all messed up on that stuff, but that's okay. God can crack. God can save. No matter if you're a cokehead, you're a drunk, whatever you are, God came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he made himself a body, called himself the Son of God. Jesus is eternal, but the Son isn't. That's why in the last chapter of the book of the Revelation, he said, I, Jesus, send my angel to testify these things. I am the root and offspring of David. Surely, he said, surely I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his works shall be. So it ain't no three gods. It ain't no two gods. It's one God, and it's all wrapped up in the body of Christ. So some of this foolishness that people are coming up with, this is the biggest lie out of hell, and they're deceived. He ain't the God of the black man and the brown man and all that, but he's a God of all flesh. We're all skeletons. That flesh fall off, everybody look the same. You're a skeleton. So that's the body, that's the temple that we are living in. So he came to save our souls. So not for people to be hustling people out of money. So that's why we were in the book of the Revelation a few weeks ago, and we'll go back in there from time to time. God is going to bring this world system down. They're going to know it's him, because even they have trillions of dollars, I'm told, off overseas and offshore in banks out of circulation, because money is their God. Just like Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You hate one, cleave to the other. You hold one, despise the other. He said you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is money. And for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have covered it after, have erred from the faith, even some people of God, he said, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So you got to watch your heart. We didn't bring nothing into this world. It's certain we can carry nothing out of this world. Do we need money? Yes, we need money. You need money. You got to keep the lights on. You got to keep a roof over your head. We got to have money. No matter what, if you're riding a bus, if you're driving, whatever, you need, you got to eat. We got to have money. But you can't worship money. So riches increase. That's why the psalmist says, don't set your heart on it. So you got to realize that you're not going to stay here forever in these bodies, in this earth, but we got to get ready to get out of here. So you walk with God, he's on your side, and you don't have to worry. So there's no fear in love, because fear hath torment, but he that feareth is not made perfect in love. So you got to mature, is what that's saying. You don't have to fear. So anyway, we go on here. Let us therefore fear. So the fear that he's talking about is the reverential fear. We fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man, is to fear God and keep his commandments. So in other words, it's a reverential fear, because we love him, because we respect him. So he says, the promise being left of us entering to his rest, any of you seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. Talking about Israel. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. He's talking about Israel. For we, which have believed, do enter into his rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day, on the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing there. Therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. There it is again. Again he liveth at a certain day, saying to in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Here is the word you want to catch. Talking about in the Old Testament is what he's referring back to. So he says, if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day. So then he goes on to say, therefore, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So we know our time is gotten away on the day. So we need to pick up next week on this, where we are. Time is just gotten away when you get to going with the word. So thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Thank you.